Hey everybody. One of the things that I have noticed in this pandemic season is that the divisions that basically defined our country 3 months ago, they have gone down quite a bit. So for example, do you even remember what our country was talking about 3 months ago before the pandemic hit? If you don't, here's a few examples. There was a lot being said about the Democratic debates leading up to obviously 2020 being an election year. There was a lot being said about racial tension when it comes to voting. There was a lot being said about differences of opinion about should American troops be in Iraq or not. And then obviously there was a lot being said about the impeachment trials of Donald Trump. In fact, some experts were saying just 3 months ago that the United States of America was more fragmented than it had ever been. Now, there's a reason we were divided. In fact, there's lots of authors that have written about this for a really long time, C.S. Lewis being one of them, and I find what he writes on the subject pretty helpful. He says that as human beings, we tend to draw circles. And so I want to be with people that think like me and look like me and talk like me and share my value system. And so I build this little circle and I put all these people in the circle that I think are like me. And then everybody outside the circle becomes the other or becomes the enemy. In fact, one of the things that bonds groups, whether that's a family group or a business group or church group or a political group, one of the things that bonds them is their disdain for the other that actually brings them closer together. And so what happens over time is we all get in our own little circles and we get angry at everybody else. Well, something really interesting happened about spring break. Everybody fell in love with chocolate chip cookies. No, I'm just kidding. We all got used to a bigger circle. Like just for a few moments, there was no longer black and white, rich and poor, Republican, Democrat. We just became people. Like as we all first dealt with the reality of this virus taking over the world, we realized that humanity is important despite our differences. Now, another thing I've noticed is that as the pandemic has gone along, the divisions are starting to come back in. Like we're going back to the little circles. So for example, I bet you've actually experienced some tension in your conversations. Maybe it was with a friend, maybe it was with a family member about different philosophies of reopening. Like maybe you've read an article or seen a video, and so you went into a conversation saying, "Well, I read this or saw this," and then somebody else said, "No, but I read this or saw this," and there was conflict there. And I'm sensing that both on the micro level with friends and with family, but it's all the way up to the macro level. Obviously, right now, there's a lot of hatred and a lot of division, politically speaking, because of different philosophies of reopening. Now, here's what I'm interested in. 3 months ago, we found something. Like I felt more unity just person to person than I've felt in a really, really long time. And so what I'm interested in is, how do we not lose that? And how do we get that back? Because it is slipping away right now. So today's going to be a different kind of a sermon. We're going to go on a field trip sermon together, and we're going to explore this really important topic. So there's this really interesting story in Mark chapter 2, and we find Jesus teaching in a house. Now, ancient houses and modern houses were nothing alike. So ancient houses would have been just one room. They wouldn't have lots of different rooms like we have today. Another difference would be that in ancient houses, you didn't have permanent beds. And so when it was time for bed, you basically had the equivalent of like a yoga mat, and you would just roll that out when you were ready to go to sleep. A third difference would be the roof. You know, we're used to in modern times, we got shingles and nails. That's not how ancient houses worked. The roof of an ancient house might have looked something like this. Now, obviously, this shack has seen better days, but the roof could have been like a roof in the ancient world. And they would have been made of sticks and branches, and mud would have been in there. And what this means is that
an ancient roof would have been pretty easy to take apart, which is what we actually find happening in our story. So here's what's going on in the story. Jesus is teaching in this house, and everybody wants to be around Jesus. So there's tons of people. They're crammed in this house like sardines, and people are standing in the back, and they're trying to, you know, careen their neck and see, where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? I want to see Jesus. And so it's really frustrating for the people in the back. You probably relate to this. Back when we used to go to sporting events and concerts and amusement parks, everybody knows the feeling of being stuck in the back of a line. It's not a good feeling at all. Well, in the story, we're introduced to these fascinating characters. The Bible doesn't say their names. The Bible actually doesn't say hardly anything about these guys, but there's four of them. And the one thing we know is they care deeply about their friend who was paralyzed. And so when Jesus comes into this house and starts teaching, apparently they hear about it and they go get their friend who's paralyzed and they put him on the mat and they take him to Jesus. But when they get there, they can't get to Jesus. Like, the crowd is so thick. But these friends, they are tenacious. They don't give up. They actually walk around to the side of the house where there probably would have been a staircase, and they go up on top of the roof and they start digging a hole in the roof to get their friend to see Jesus. Now, I want you to imagine that you're sitting in that house and you're listening to Jesus. It's a great sermon. You're hanging on every word that he is saying. And all of a sudden, you feel this dust start to land on your nose. Maybe you sniffle, maybe you sneeze, and then you look up and you realize that somebody is digging a hole through the roof. What's the first thing that goes through your mind? Like maybe you're thinking, I got here early. That's not fair that this dude gets to be lowered down and get to Jesus when I'm the one that got up early in the morning to come to this house to see Jesus. It's not fair. Or maybe you're the owner of the house and you're like, ah, my roof. I don't have insurance. Like, there's so many things that the average person would think if a dude starts coming through the roof. Well, here's what's interesting. The Bible tells us that Jesus sees the guy, and Scripture actually says Jesus saw their faith. And then he said to the guy, your sins are forgiven. And then as the story goes on, Jesus actually heals this guy. Now, there's so many things to think about and talk about in this story. I just want to point out a few things. First thing I want to point out is Scripture says Jesus saw their faith, as in he saw the faith of the friends, not the faith of the paralyzed guy. Well, that's the implications of that are actually pretty astounding. What this means is that there are probably seasons of your life where your faith will be really important to somebody else. Like, sometimes it's the faith of the strong that, at least for a time, can carry the faith of the weak. And this also means that there's probably a season in your life where maybe you're on the weak end of faith. It's okay to ask for help. Faith needs to be shared in an evangelistic sense, but faith also needs to be shared in a let's comfort each other sense. And that's what's going on in this story. Now, second thing that I'd want to point out is, even backing up a little bit, it's a pretty simple thought, but did you notice that Jesus saw their faith? We tend to see the things that we care about. So kids, when you walk into a room, what's the first thing you look for? Toys, because that's what you care about. It's interesting, over the last few weeks and months, a lot of us, as we go out into the world, the things that we're looking for are, who's wearing masks? Where's the hand sanitizer? The reason we're thinking those things is because we care about them. And so when you care about something, you see it. Jesus sees faith. And so what that means is he's on the lookout for it. Like, he cares about people who have faith. Now, third thing I'd want to point out is the text says that Jesus saw their faith, but what did he actually see? He saw dirt, mud, ropes, a dude being lowered down through the roof. And so what this means is that for Jesus, faith is action. Like, it'd be one thing if Jesus walked up onto somebody who's sitting at a park and they're sitting and they got their eyes closed and they're concentrating really hard, and maybe Jesus goes up to that person and says, wow, you've got great faith. That's not how the story works. Jesus sees action. So for Jesus, faith is not something abstract. Faith is concrete. And so if you want to be the kind of person that surprises Jesus or impresses Jesus, it's not necessarily what you think in your head when you're concentrating really hard, although that is important, but Jesus pays attention to what you do. And when Jesus sees their faith, he's seeing their action. In fact, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, it's one of Paul's letters, and he says, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Now, one question we have to ask ourselves about this story is, why exactly was Jesus so impressed with their faith? Like, what did they really do? Well, if you follow the story, one thing they're doing is they're breaking down barriers left and right. So you've got the physical barrier where you got the big crowd, it's in the way, but these friends, they will not let that crowd stop them. They break that barrier. But then you've got other barriers, like you got a socioeconomic barrier. What do you think this paralyzed guy did all day long? Probably sat by the side of the road and begged. And so it's the rich people that are in the front of the line. It's the poor people that are in the back. And these friends, they break down that barrier. And then another barrier would just be the obvious one. This guy's sick and the other people are well. And so the people that are healthy are the ones that are getting to see Jesus, and the guy that's crippled can't. And so once again, these friends come through and they break down this barrier so that this guy can see Jesus. So in other words, to put it really simply, the thing that Jesus was really impressed by with these friends is that they built a bridge. Now here I am walking out on a little bridge here, and I actually like this bridge for several reasons. One is that it's not perfect. There's planks missing. It's definitely a work in progress. That's okay. It's still functional. Bridges don't have to be perfect to work. But I also like this bridge because it actually helps us create a really good definition of what a bridge is. A bridge is a connection over a division. So if you look down here, there's a creek bed here, and it's quite the divide. And unless you are a squirrel or an agile child, you're going to really struggle getting across this divide. So what the bridge does is it provides a connection over the division. That doesn't mean a bridge takes away the division. This divide is still here. What a bridge does is it simply places the connection as a higher priority than the division. In fact, that's exactly what's going on in this story. These friends are building this connection between this paralytic and Jesus, and the connection is going over the division. The division is still there. All the barriers and the socioeconomic barrier and the educational barrier and the physical barrier, they're there. But what the bridge does when they tear that hole in the roof, it places the connection over the division. In fact, if you think about it, this is what Jesus did all the time. Jesus spent most of his ministry building bridges. People said, kids, don't go see Jesus. And Jesus says, no, I want the kids to come to me. He's building a bridge. People would tell the lame and the cripple and the blind, no, Jesus is too important for you. But Jesus over and over again said, no, those are exactly the people that I want to be with. He built bridges to Samaritans. He built bridges to prostitutes, to tax collectors, to professors like Nicodemus. Like this is what Jesus did. He never put barriers in the way from people getting to him. He always built bridges. You think about like the big events of Jesus's life. Incarnation. What's the incarnation? It's a bridge. It's a bridge between heaven and earth. Crucifixion. What's the crucifixion? It's a bridge that brings people from sin to forgiveness. Resurrection. It's a bridge. It's a bridge that brings people from death to life. So over and over and over again, this is what Jesus does. He's consistently building bridges, and he expects his followers to do the same thing. So, how do we get back to the unity that a lot of us felt just 3 months ago? I think it starts with all of us choosing to become better bridge builders. Like, we've got to have less circles, and we've got to have more bridges. Now, there's just a few things to remember about building bridges. One would be, when you build a bridge between yourself and somebody else, that does not mean that you have to agree with everything that person thinks and believes. Now think about Jesus on the cross. Criminals right next to him. Do you think that Jesus agreed with everything that that criminal thought and believed? Of course not. And yet Jesus still builds a bridge between himself and that guy. So building a bridge doesn't mean that you have to agree with that person. And I would say number two, building a bridge doesn't even mean you need to like a person. Again, going back to Jesus, do you think Jesus liked the Roman soldiers putting nails into his wrists on the cross? My guess is he didn't like that. And yet what did he do? He said, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. He built a bridge. You don't have to like someone to build a bridge towards them. And then number three, you don't have to approve of everything a person believes or thinks to build a bridge towards them. Again, going back to Jesus here, think about his disciples. Jesus has Matthew the tax collector and Simon the zealot, and they're on the same team. You talk about polar opposite as far as political beliefs. Simon the zealot, he is part of a group that aggressively, sometimes violently, opposes the Roman Empire, and Matthew works for the Roman Empire. And they're part of the same team. And so does Jesus fully approve of either one of those guys' political views, like start to finish, A to Z? You know what? Probably not. And yet Jesus still built bridges. He still said, you can be part of my team. So remember, building a bridge is all about connection over division. It doesn't make the division go away. But you're saying, you know what? I'm going to trust the division to God, and I am going to choose to connect with you, even though we might disagree, even though we might be on different sides of whatever spectrum you want to bring up. I'm still going to choose connection, because at the end of the day, what building a bridge is, it's an act of love. So last week I was reading a book and I came across a story that was really convicting to me. So there was these two pretty influential faith leaders of the 20th century, R.C. Sproul and Billy Graham. And they got in a big disagreement. Both guys really smart, both have doctorates, both have a really big following, but they disagreed on a big doctrinal debate that's been going on for a really long time. Sproul, he believes that it doesn't necessarily matter if a person chooses to follow Christ. He says the people that are really saved are the ones that God chose before the beginning of time. So he's a determinist. Whereas Billy Graham, for all his life, he was really big on what I believe, which is that people have to make that decision on their own, and they have to come to faith and choose that. Well, they really disagreed about this. Well, one day Sproul is speaking at this church in Tennessee, and they have this question and answer time, and someone asked the question, Dr. Sproul, do you think that you'll see Billy Graham in heaven? And Dr. Sproul paused for quite a moment, and then he said, no, I don't think I'm going to see Billy Graham. Well, that shocked the audience. But then Sproul continued and he said, I don't think I'm going to see Billy Graham because Billy Graham's going to be so close to the throne room of heaven and I'm going to be so far away. I don't even know if I'll catch a glimpse of him. That's pretty impressive for these two guys to fully disagree with one another. And yet at the end of the day, Sproul decided to build a bridge. Now, my guess is you've got a lot of thoughts and opinions about probably either guy and all the beliefs that they have about Scripture. And I have agreements and disagreements with both guys, as do you. But we all have to make this choice. Are we going to be people that divide or people that build bridges? One of my favorite passages of Scripture is a point where Paul says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And I'm glad he said it that way, because what he's getting at is that unity takes effort. Like, it's hard. It's really, really hard work. But I'm telling you, the work is worth it. So here's the deal. Most likely every day for the rest of your life, you're gonna have a choice between division or connection. We make these decisions all the time. And all I'm saying today is be the kind of person that chooses connection over division. Leave the division to God. I mean, he's better at math than you anyway. Now, it does take work. It goes one plank at a time, one nail at a time, one person at a time, but I'm telling you, building bridges is worth it for the glory of God.
Hey everyone, hope that you're doing well. Well, this week's challenge is all about, as you can see, building bridges, just like Phil talked about. We are wanting to show a lot of encouragement and love to our medical community and to the most vulnerable among us. And so that's what we're going to practice this week. We have here a bridge that we've constructed to go along with Phil's lesson, because sometimes when we're wanting to connect with others over a divide, we have to build bridges so that we can rely on each other, trust each other, and show each other plenty of support. So, we are wanting to encourage our healthcare workers, represented here by Doc Ock. And yes, I'm well aware that Doc Ock is a supervillain, but try not to fixate on that. He may have disregarded his Hippocratic Oath at some point, but that's all right. He was a doctor. He's done some good things. He's standing in for our medical professionals now. And also, we are wanting to bless our senior adults, represented here by the esteemed Gandalf. In this case, Gandalf the Grey. Now, this here is me, if you can see. This is just your average, just happy-go-lucky, stylish, fun, just super cool, inspiring individual. And that's me in this case, of course. And so if I'm wanting to encourage these people who are on the other side of a divide, maybe it's because of the isolation of the quarantine, maybe it's the danger and the stress and the chaos of caring for those that are sick during the pandemic, I have got to build a bridge of some sort. It's got to be solid and sturdy, so that when I am ready to walk across the... I'm actually glad that that happened, because sometimes bridges collapse, right? Phil didn't talk about this in his lesson, but maybe he should have. But sometimes bridges collapse, and hopefully there's water that you fall into so you can swim to safety. Anyway, that doesn't matter. Whenever a bridge collapses, what do? You have to pick up the pieces, and you have to start building it better than ever. Just, you know what? Just forget about the Legos. That was a bad example. All right. Basically, we're going to deliver care packages to healthcare workers and to people who are senior adults. So we want you to sign up. We want you to come by and pick up your hair. Come on! Ow! Oh, Bodie, your Legos are everywhere. Pick them up. Now that I have composed myself, let me tell you about this week's challenge. We have a big, ambitious project that we want to pull off this week, and so we're going to need lots and lots of help. It comes in two parts. We want to do lots of care packages for healthcare workers and our most senior adults, and then we want to provide meals to different shifts of hospital workers. So let me tell you about both of those. We are so blessed to have so many healthcare workers and senior adults at Memorial Road. And so using funds collected in our regular contribution, we have put together a whole bunch, about 800 different care packages, about half for our Memorial Road members and half for people in our community. We want you to help us deliver those, and that means we're going to need lots and lots of volunteers. So here's what you do. You go to mrcc.org/bridges to sign up to deliver at least two care packages, one for an MRCC member and one for someone in our community. Now, if you know a healthcare worker or an elderly person that you want to deliver that non-MRCC package to, that's perfect. But if not, we can assign you someone. Then we're going to ask you to come by the drive-through line at the building during one of the designated times to pick up your assigned packages. You can add personal notes and, if you like, other suggested items from a list that we'll provide you. And then we're going to ask you to deliver those packages to the provided addresses. It's just that simple. Now, a quick word about packages for our MRCC members. Obviously, the last thing we want to do is to leave anybody out. We've worked really hard to make these lists of healthcare workers and senior adults comprehensive, but there's always a chance that we inadvertently left someone off. And so once all this is said and done, if you know someone that you feel like should have gotten a care package, we want to ask you to please, please let us know that so that we can get them one. There's a second way to build bridges this week, and we want you to know you can participate in either or both of these projects. There are so many healthcare workers, both members at Memorial Road and others in our community, who are doing so much to fight this pandemic on the front lines during this crisis. And so we want to reach out to them, we want to connect with them, we want to bless them. And food is a really good way to do that. Providing a meal to them while they're at work is just one less thing that they have to worry about. And so challenge number two is providing meals to shifts of hospital workers. Once again, you just go to mrcc.org/bridges and volunteer to help provide a catered meal to a shift of workers at a local hospital. We've got meal deliveries of varying sizes that are listed there in the Meal Train signup. There are about a dozen different signup opportunities, and the groups that we're wanting to feed range from about 10 to 15 people to about 120 people. So that means it would be great for Q groups or Bible classes or groups of friends and families to do this together. We need some leaders to jump in there and help your groups tackle this project. Once you sign up, you'll receive additional information. Obviously, you can't just march a bunch of food into an ER right now, but we've been gathering all of that research for you. So we will get you that information once you sign up, everything you need to get it done. Once again, we miss all of you. I hope as many of you as possible will sign up to do either or both of these bridges projects as we seek to take care and build bridges to people in our own church family and out into our community. Take care, and we'll see you soon.
Hey, Memorial Road, thanks again for tuning in. We do want you to know we're thinking about you, we're praying for you. If there's anything you need, please don't hesitate to call. Kind of like the story, we want to be the kind of people that connect people to Jesus, and we want to take those barriers down, whatever they are. So if there's anything you need, if you need prayers, if you need guidance, if you're thinking about giving your life to Christ in baptism, we really want to be able to talk to you about that. So please don't hesitate to call. And have a blessed week.